John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, and it opens, "These words spake Jesus." This, my friend, is a great portion of Scripture that we've come to. And again, may I say it without any attempt of appearing to be, well, shall I say, adopt a pious attitude. I feel wholly and totally inadequate to deal with this prayer. It's His high priestly intercession for us. And it's a specimen that's given to us of the communications which I think constantly pass between the Lord Jesus here on earth and the Father in heaven. His life was a life of prayer, you will recall, when He began His ministry over in the first chapter of Mark. On that first Sabbath day, it says He rose up a great while before day and went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And then Luke tells us in the 6th chapter, verse 12, that He went up into a mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God. And again, it tells about our Lord being in prayer. Now, He today is our great intercessor. And the question may be asked, well, who's He praying for and what's He praying about? Let me say this, that He's praying for you and He's praying for me. And if you forgot to pray this morning, He didn't. He prayed for you this morning. And God always hears and answers His prayer just the way He prays it. Now, He answers my prayer, but not the way I pray it always. You remember He said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always." That's in John 11, 41 and 42. Now will you notice? "These words spake Jesus, and He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee." Now, we come into this chapter, that's verse 1 of chapter 17, and what we have here is a division, and I feel like it's almost sacrilegious to divide this prayer, attempt to make it a sort of a theological production, and yet I think it's that. I've divided it like this. In verses 1 through 5, Jesus prays for Himself. And in verses 6 to 20, He prays for His own. In this particular case, it was His disciples, and today it's believers. It's you and I. And then we find in verses 21 to 26, Jesus prays for His church. Now, Jesus prays for Himself. And I want you to notice that this is not out of line, and it's not even a mark of selfishness. I believe that when you and I go to God in prayer, we need to get our own hearts and lives right with God. We need to get in tune, as it were, with heaven. And every instrument should be tuned up before it plays a tune. And before you and I begin to pray for others, we need to pray for ourselves. And that's not selfishness. That is something that is essential, by the way. Now, will you notice what it says? "And He lifted up His eyes to heaven." I have never argued for a posture of the body, but He prayed this prayer when He was walking along, apparently, or standing, and it says He lifted up His eyes to heaven. And today, what do we say in church? I've said it 1,000 times, I guess. Let's bow our heads in prayer. He didn't. He lifted up His eyes to heaven. And you remember David in the 25th Psalm, the first verse put it like this, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." And again in Psalm 123:1, it says, "Unto Thee lift I up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens." And then in that very marvelous pilgrim Psalm 121, in that it says this, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills." That ought to be a question. The heathen were lifting up their eyes to the hills. And shall I lift up mine eyes to the hills? And then the question again, "From whence cometh my help?" Well, not from the hills. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. And the thought here is that David is saying, I lift up mine eyes to heaven. And very frankly, friends, I'm not wanting to change the ritual of the church today. But I think that it would be more in keeping with what prayer really is, instead of bowing our heads and looking down at our shoes, seeing whether we shined them or not, our feet. And instead of looking down, we ought to look up to the heavens when we pray. And our Lord, I think, prayed this prayer walking along with his eyes open, and it says he lifted up his eyes to heaven, which means he had his eyes open. So don't tell me that you can't pray without bowing your head and closing your eyes. Why, you can pray walking along. Our Lord did that. And this is rather revolutionary today, and I'm not about to try to change the church. I'm no longer a pastor, so I'm going to let the other brethren run the churches today, and I'll just stay out. But here it is. This is the way he did it. And if you want to follow our Lord in a posture in prayer, I'm sure it would be like this. Now notice the prayer that he prays. He says, Father, the hour is come. Now, I wish that I had time to spend with that little expression right there. The hour is come. What hour? Well, the hour that was set way back yonder in eternity. And already the clock now is striking that hour that was set way back in eternity. Because before the foundation of the world, he was the Lamb of God slain. It was arranged way back there. The hour has come. When he began his ministry, his mother, you'll remember, at that wedding in Cana of Galilee, said to him, they have no wine. He says, woman, what's that to thee and to me? Mine hour is not yet come. And there on the cross, his hour came. And you remember, he looked down at his mother. And when he looked down at her, you remember, he said, woman, behold thy son. His hour has come. And what is that hour? The hour when he paid for your sins and mine. The hour when all of the creation of God, friends, saw the love of God displayed and lavished yonder upon that cross when he took your sins and my sins and he died a vicarious, substitutionary, redemptive death for you and for me. And it didn't end there. It goes on to the resurrection. The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now glorify thy Son. What? Well, the death of Christ would demonstrate that God's not the brutal bully that the liberalists talked about in the Old Testament, but he is a father, and that he's loved the world, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And now the Son will be raised from the dead, ascend back to heaven, and he's been given a name that's above every name, and every knee shall bow to him. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee.